What am I willing to do to go get it? I push things aside just to go get it. I know my role and I play my position. You talking too much. Please learn how to listen. I never give up. I'm not quitting.
Welcome back to the YI Network, where we interview every job occupation, A through Z, from the trash man to the CEO, and ask them why and how they started their profession so that you can find your dream job too. I'm your host, Kojo Thompson, and today we have a very special guest with us. It is Laura Hyman. Now, Laura is an international yoga leader and creator of the Light Method. Now, Laura investigates the modern evolution of yoga from her background as a physical therapist and neurodevelopmental treatment specialist. So Laura has a lot to share with us here today. So Laura, shall I proceed?
Yes, indeed.
All right. How are we feeling today?
So good. So happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Kojo.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I think that you are our first yoga instructor to be on the show. And my girlfriend actually just started doing yoga. So I actually have some additional questions for you, if you don't mind. But
of course,
what we're going to have to do is go into that question that everybody has been waiting for. Drum roll, please. And that is, why, Laura, why did you become a yoga instructor?
Well, I'm a yoga instructor and I'm also a physical therapist. So I kind of look at it like I'm a movement specialist. And I always loved movement as a kid. I just loved sports. I loved dance. I have three brothers. I was always, you know, keeping up with them, playing. And I just felt the joy of movement. It was just in my cells, you know, it just changed how I felt. I felt alive and vibrant. And I remember being injured in high school and feeling really low. And even like with this big cast on my leg, getting on one of these little dinky indoor bikes and just riding, and how just sweating and moving made me feel so much better from this low place. So I always knew, even before I had the language for it or the understanding, the importance of the body-mind connection, that our body is this container of our spirit, our energy, our potential, our will, our ambition, our vision, all of it. And when we're not embodied, meaning living in this, it's a home that we, that carries us through life. When we're not organized and living in it with a sense of joy and curiosity and play, it affects us. It affects our mood. It affects our outlook. And so I think I, and my dad was a surgeon, so I had the medical background in me. I knew I wanted to do something in healthcare and wellness. And so when I went to college, I thought I was, I went into pre-med, and after about a week, I remember calling my parents and saying, I don't think this is my jam. These people are too serious. So I kind of, you know, tossed around other ideas, but I knew so clearly that I wanted to work with the body and with people and help them feel that connection. And so I became a physical therapist. I went to grad school, and after grad school in physical therapy, I then discovered yoga. And so I was simultaneously working in a clinic and then teaching yoga, and eventually merged the two because there was so much kind of overlap, but also I saw there were gaps in each of the professions. And so now I just look at myself as a movement specialist, help doing what I've wanted to do since the beginning. You know, I'm 52 and this is like, you know, 30 some years of knowing this is what I wanted to educate and teach and spread to people, is that, you know, you can always help yourself feel better, move better, and be a better person. You take care of your body and your movement. And so that was, yeah, it was there in the origins from the beginning. And I just really stayed true to that path. I knew I didn't want to do anything that required sitting. You know, I knew how I felt if I sat for 6 to 8 hours. And so I was kind of intelligent emotionally enough to know that wasn't going to be my jam. So it's worked out so well. And I feel like that passion has only gotten brighter.
I love that answer so, so much. And for the people who are listening to this right now, I know Laura just stated that she was 52 years old, but trust me, I am on a Zoom call with her right now and I'm looking at her face and she does not look a day older than 22. So
I love you.
The fact that she is even, I had no idea she was, you shocked me. You shocked me. So
taking care of yourself and doing the thing you love will always make you feel young.
Oh my goodness. And trust me, it is working. It is working. It is working. And you know what? I was just about to ask what your process was like, but I think you just broke it down for us beautifully. So here's what I want from you. I know you said that your father was a surgeon, but what do you think were some other childhood hobbies and habits that matriculated into what you're doing today?
I think, like I said, I loved movement. I was really into dance and I loved the discipline of practicing moves over and over, building off of them. That just to me, it satisfied my right and left brain, you know, this creativeness, but this also kind of mathematical organization to it. And then when I would, that was my biggest hobby, but also I played piano. Now, piano is not necessarily movement, but it is generating this amazing side of the brain of creativity, but also focus and regimen, discipline. You know, again, you come back and it's kind of similar to how I move now. It's repetitive. You still, every time you get on the piano, you play your scales, you get your core, you get your fingers limber, you get your brain clearer. And so I always had these hobbies or interests that had that kind of creative part to them, but also a structure, you know? And so I think I naturally brought that in. And then I also volunteered. My parents both were really into service. And so just seeing how giving someone your time, your attention, even if it's 2 minutes of listening, is so powerful. And that all of those parts of my early childhood came together in my physical therapy and yoga career, because so much of teaching and educating people is also listening and observing and witnessing, and everybody wants to be seen and heard. So I think all of those things really crystallized into this career path.
I absolutely loved that answer right there. Listening is very, 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 very important. And I absolutely love that answer, but I have to ask, what's an average day like for you today?
Well, now I'm also, in addition to that, I'm an entrepreneur because I have my own brand, Lit Yoga. I have, I run teacher trainings. I have an online platform. I have a team. So it's very full and it's very varied, and that actually makes it really fun. So I'm actually working on a muscle in the kind of business side that I had not had as much kind of flexing in my earlier years as a physical therapist and yoga teacher. So my typical day is always has movement in it, because for me, that's a non-negotiable, taking care of myself so that I can be my best and clearest and most energized for everyone, for the people that I'm teaching, for my team members. So it really, I'm pretty slow to wake up. I also really honor like my body and my kind of cycles. And I know that I don't plan many things early in the morning. That occasionally happens, but You know, a typical day is I get up, I either teach or do my own practice. I have meetings. I have lots of meetings. I have meetings with my team. I have meetings with teacher trainings. I run 35 weeks of teacher trainings a year. Mm-hmm. So I have meetings about that. I have Zoom calls with my trainees. They're all over the world. Right now we have a training with people in 43 different countries.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I have my own podcast, Redefining Yoga. So, you know, a day might include that I'm interviewing someone like you're interviewing me, or mm-hmm. I'm talking. I have three a week, so I'm pretty busy with that. I do interviews and, you know, I spend time with my family. And it's a full day. It's really full, but that organization helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I craft my schedule to work for me, you know, I get into my calendar and I block out some time where I'm not doing anything. Cause I know if I have some of those times where it's just nothing is asking me to be productive, I'm actually more productive. Mm. So it's a full day. And you know, anytime you're an entrepreneur, there's always something you can be doing. The job is never done. And I think it's early on, it's really important to recognize that, to make your goals, but to also make time for space.
And guys, again, the number one thing I would take away from that is make sure that you're improving yourself in some type of way every day. Take a chunk out of your day to improve yourself. Because again, Laura, it's not like Laura looks like she's stressing about life right now, because she is doing the stuff that she loves. Mm-hmm. She has found the fountain of youth and is now, you know, it's just portraying in everything she does. So very, very important piece of advice right there. I absolutely loved it. Now, Laura, what do you enjoy the most about what you do?
Connecting with people. I just love the community that I have. I love meeting people. I love doing privates. That's another thing I do. I have, you know, usually 4 to 5 privates a week. Mm-hmm. And just really imparting my knowledge in a way that makes a small but significant change, and mm-hmm. seeing that and being uplifted. I'm in a job that is really, there's just so much positivity, you know, mm-hmm. and that is crucial to me. Mm. There's not a lot of, you know, negative stuff that I have to deal with. I'm helping people feel better. Mm. And in return, I get so much out of that. So as when I get messages from people about how I help them, you know, have no pain, or help them play with their grandchildren or go back to work or whatever, that fuels me as much as whatever gift I've given them. So I feel like there's such reciprocity. So that's my absolute favorite, is working with people. And it can be working with an individual, helping them move better. It could be teaching other yoga teachers or physical therapists my knowledge and imparting that, and having them carry that on to the people that they work with. So it's mm-hmm. this wonderful regenerative cycle of education, empowerment, and energy. And it's working with people that gives me that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, the back end of that question is, what do you enjoy the least?
The least I enjoy is all of the, some of the business side that is just not my jam. Mm-hmm. So we have legal stuff, we have accounting stuff, all of that. If I had to do all of it, it would drain me. You know, so I think it's really important to know what drains you. And is that something that you can delegate to somebody else who loves it? Like, there's people who love accounting and love spreadsheets and love legalese. So that kind of stuff is, you know, there's always, when you have a business, which I do now have, there's always those elements that you have that are necessary. They're like kind of the necessary evils, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even I had a yoga studio for 9 years and, you know, just, I learned early on, if I don't do it all and I delegate the things that I like the least. So, you know, the bookkeeping, the, you know, some answering of the emails, the, you know, just the financial stuff, the some of the marketing stuff, you know, I was trying to do that. That's not my, that, you know, I can appreciate marketing, mm-hmm. but I don't want to do it. That's mm-hmm. not my, you know, that isn't, that's not what brings me joy. So, mm-hmm. Those are the things, some of the elements that run a business that are absolutely necessary, mm-hmm. but that are not in my wheelhouse. And mm-hmm. I have learned over the years how important it is to delegate those things to somebody that is really good at it, that mm-hmm. really does enjoy it. So everybody's in their lane doing what they love. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, then you've got a great business.
I love it. I love it. I love it, especially because I can relate. I have to post 3 Instagram posts a week and I hate it. I hate mm-hmm. it, man. I really don't like marketing. So I really can relate to what you just said. Now, Lara, this next question is my absolute favorite. And that is, do you think that grades mattered in school for the success that you have in your career today?
Well, there's 2 sides to it. I went to a highly competitive school. I went to Duke University for undergrad and grad school. Mm-hmm. And my grades in high school absolutely allowed me to get to that caliber. Mm-hmm. And then my grades in college allowed me to get to the next level of mm-hmm. grad school. Mm-hmm. Once I graduated and I came up to where I, you know, where I live now, mm-hmm. I was with people who went to much, like, you wouldn't even know the names of the schools. Mm-hmm. And what I'll tell you is no one that we were working with ever asked us where we went to school mm. or how we did. Mm-hmm. So the first answer is, yes, it matters in the sense that there it will give you opportunities. So to go to like a great school, mm. if you, but there's lots of great schools mm-hmm. and they aren't all as well known. Mm-hmm. And what I'll say is those grades may more important than the grade itself was the discipline in working to get the knowledge mm. and then be able to translate that knowledge into a number. And mm. it doesn't have to be a straight A, but it's, mm. I think the grades, Matt, and I convey this to my daughter now, who's also at a highly competitive school. And I'm mm-hmm. always telling her, like, nobody's going to ask you about your grade, like learn and try and enjoy the learning. And mm. there's going to be things you're not going to love. And if you don't do great in it, who cares? Mm. Who cares? You know, she's taking economy. I'm like, you're not going to be an economist. Mm. It's okay. You've discovered that's not your jam. Mm-hmm. So grades can actually kind of, they can kind of help direct you. Like mm-hmm. what you naturally are good at and you want to study, mm. you'll probably do better at. So mm. I would use grades as like kind of a way of discovering A, what you enjoy, what you're good at, but also as a practice of, you know, working, developing the skills of discipline. So mm. I'm not getting any grades now, but mm. how I used to study, mm. what really helps me now in mm. my ability to get things done and execute and finalize things. Mm. So it's a mixed bag. I think for sure grades are definitely not a determinant of your intelligence. There's mm. so many. And that's the other thing I really want to convey to people out there is, academic intelligence is one form of intelligence. Mm. There's mechanical intelligence. There's somatic, that's your body. Mm. There's creative intelligence, you know, and people are, you know, there's people that are great with, they could take apart a car and I could mm. never do that. Mm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different forms of intelligence that might not be highlighted in the way that academic intelligence is highlighted. Mm. So I think grades can matter in that they can certainly pave an easier path to success in the, but it depends. Like, again, grades might not matter if you're going to do something that's artistic or something that's, you know, like taking apart a car. It really depends. So I think that for me, it definitely helped me. And I was driven, and that really, you know, again, it was a way of giving me a tangible evidence that the work I put in paid off. Mm, mm, mm,
mm. I love it. I love it. I love it. And that reminds me so much of a Jeff Bezos quote. Jeff Bezos once said, there are a lot of different types of smart, and there are also a lot of different types of stupid. So yes. I definitely understand and appreciate that answer right there. Now, I'm going to break down this next question just a little bit, just because this word gets tossed around a little willy-nilly, and that is, what do you feel that your impact is? And when I say impact, I mean, what are you devoted to? What is your devotion?
Well, my devotion is to really empower people. And what I'm, and that's a word also that has, you know, a lot of different meanings, but it is that at the end of the day, we all have different histories. We all have different bodies. We all have different emotional states. We all have different backgrounds. But the one commonality is that we can only be responsible for ourselves. You know, at the end of the day, that's actually really important to know early on, is that we can only be responsible for ourselves, how we behave, how we move, how we respond. So my impact, I hope my impact is to really clarify that for people who feel disempowered by what has happened to them in the past, what they're facing in the future, that there are so many unknowns. What I say, there's so many unknowns in life, but the one irrefutable fact is we have a body and our body holds so much. It holds our history. It holds our stories. It holds our emotions, but we also are the author. We can change it, scrap it, rewrite it at any time. And so my impact is through the body, through the education of how to move better, why movement matters. I am hoping that people really get us that. And that's what people tell me much more than, oh, that my hip feels better. It's, I feel like I can take a job that I didn't think I was qualified for, leave a job that I hate, get out of this relationship because it isn't actually serving me. So that's the impact, is empowering people to actually know they have everything within them.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What a beautiful, beautiful piece of advice. And again, very, very important piece of advice that she just gave there. Self-love is the best love. Self-love is the best love. You can't love somebody else if you don't love yourself, and you also, and nobody can also love you if you don't love yourself. That's a big piece of advice that Laura just gave us. And again, she said that everything that you need is within. That means that if it's within you, you see, I messed up. I stumbled my words. If it's within you, then that means you have to bring it forth. It's not something that's outside of you that you have to have or you got to chase in order to be happy in life. It's already in you. Bring it forth, bring it out, and this world will reward you for it. And I absolutely loved that answer right there, Laura. Now,
thank you.
I am absolutely disappointed that this interview is almost done, because we are down to that last question. So, Laura, if there was one, just one piece of advice for somebody out there listening right now who wants to be in the position that you are in today, Laura, what would that be?
It would be to...
And we interrupt this programming with a word from our sponsors. Now, a lot of people ask me, Kojo, you've helped me figure out how to do this, that, and the other, but what about starting my own podcast like you? Well, I'm finally sharing my secret. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world by hitting our affiliate link down below. Now, don't miss out on this limited time offer. Sign up and live your dream job too. Now back to the podcast.
Go for it, right? Without hesitation. Listen to that inner voice. You know, like that's the one thing I'll often say is I am not necessarily wiser than anyone, or I'm not, but I'm clearer. I would be clear. like you just said, you're going to hear a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. You might want to choose this career path and somebody might say, no, you should do something that mm-hmm. would make you more money in this way or mm-hmm. would bring mm-hmm. you more fame. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we cannot listen to the conditioning that is placed upon us. Mm. Listen to your inner voice. If mm-hmm. you have a passion to go and help people, to work with people, to learn about the body, to learn about the emotions in the body, and to put that into a vocation, because a vocation, an avocation is a calling.
Mm.
So there's a we can have a job, but an avocation is a calling. So my best piece of advice is, what is your inner voice, your heart telling you? And if it says, I want to do this, then don't let anything get in the way. Put yourself on that path and make it happen, because then you are being true to you. And the biggest piece of advice I'd give to anyone is, never betray yourself.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely beautiful. And you know, a lot of, I was just talking about this with the last guy I interviewed, and I told him that the biggest problem that we have in society today is the fact that we care too much about what other people think of us. We care way too much about what other people think of us. Think of social media, think of TV, think of all the celebrities, think of entertainment networks. I mean, everybody is just always worried about what somebody else thinks about you, but nobody ever takes the time to just love themselves and do what they feel is right in their heart. And that is the most important thing. That's how you turn 52 and you look 22, because you have no stress, because you are absolutely in connection with your inner self and you have inner peace. That is what that looks like right there. Loving yourself, doing what is meant and is right for you. And I absolutely love that answer. Now, when it comes to that calling piece of advice, Laura, I got something for you at the end of this interview. Just hang on tight. But Laura, again, you have been answering these questions absolutely perfectly all interview long. Now, before I let you go, I'm going to need a couple of things from you. Now, I know about your podcast. I'm going to leave the link down below for the podcast. We all know about your Instagram account. We're going to leave the Instagram account down below. But please, if there's any other link, anything, even a book, I don't even care, just something that we can leave down in the link in the description below so that my audience can reach yours, please promote and shout it out now.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, like you said, find me on Instagram, direct message me. I'm very engaged there, because I always say, if you take the time to write me, I'm going to take the time to write you back. Mm-hmm. That's just good manners. Mm-hmm. Finally, Lit Yoga, LYT, that stands for Laura's Yoga Technique, but I also say it's like an onomatopoeia. You say it and you feel it. Lit. Lityoga.com. And everything about me, the methodology, my background, my teaching, the online platform that I have, it's all can be found on there. So take a look at that. And if you have any questions about yoga, physical therapy, shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you.
And please, guys, please, the link is down in the description below. And as you know, this is the YI Network. We call it the network for a reason. These people are putting their information on the line for you guys to connect and reach out to them. Please take advantage of this once in a lifetime opportunity. Laura is doing excellent work and she has been an excellent guest all interview long. And we must thank her once again for coming on the show. But folks, as you know, there are three types of work: a job, a career, and a calling. Most people have a job. You're lucky if you find a career, but you are truly, truly blessed if you find your calling. And I really hope that me and Laura helped you find it here today, folks. That is a wrap. If you like today's episode, Make sure to follow the YI Network on Instagram for daily quotes from your favorite episodes and more. And if today's podcast helped you in any type of way, make sure not to thank me, but thank God. God put me on the right track at the right time to provide you guys with this content through me. And I pray that this episode helps you align with your purpose so that you too may help others. So stay blessed and stay safe. And until next time, guys.
What am I willing to do to go get it? I push things aside just to go get it. I know my role and I play my position. You talking too much. Please learn how to listen. I never give up. I'm not quitting. I'm persistent.